The latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal is out. It contains an article that I've written titled The Theology of Jesus. What's the connection between the Church's Confession of Christ and her Confession of the Trinity? Find out with the latest Issues Etc. journal. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Mason Beecroft writes about the false promises of Pop American Christianity. Get your copy of the latest Issues Etc. journal by sending your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org.
I can't believe you're giving up church, Homer.
Hey, what's the big deal about going to some building every Sunday? I mean, isn't God everywhere?
Amen, brother.
And don't you think that the Almighty has better things to worry about than where one little guy spends one measly hour of his week?
Tell it, Daddy.
And what if we pick the wrong religion? Every week we're just making God madder and madder.
Testify!
Hard to argue with Homer Simpson. In fact, I've argued in the past that The Simpsons, now, what, way past 20 years running on television, has become one of the best mirrors of Pop American evangelicalism. It is fairly accurate in that sense, but what is the theology at work in The Simpsons, and what can we learn about how we do theology or how theology is done by observing it done wrongly in shows like The Simpsons? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Monday afternoon, January the 31st. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll talk about theology and The Simpsons with Pastor Robert Wenzel of Trinity Lutheran Church in Walton, Nebraska for the first half hour of the program. In the second half hour, Pastor Sean Cumm joins us to sort out what it means when Christians confess that Jesus descended into hell. Is there any scriptural basis for that confession? And then what does it mean that he descended? Why did he descend? The second hour of the program is all on the subject of prayer. Dr. John Kleinig, Emeritus Lecturer at Australian Lutheran College, will be our guest. Pastor Robert Wenzel is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Walton, Nebraska. He's author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled Theology and the Simpsons. Pastor Wenzel, welcome.
Thank you, Todd. It's good to talk to you today.
How does The Simpsons depict Christianity?
Well, they picture Christianity in a very satirical way. They are sometimes condescending. Sometimes they are a bit befuddled about what the Christian faith is. But in other ways, they are uncannily accurate in depicting perhaps some of our own confusion in America about what the Christian faith is.
You say that it's really about two different theologies, or we could say two different ways of doing theology. What are they?
Well, the way that sinful humans would like to approach it is to talk about the things of God from our own experience, using our own imaginations about how we think God is, and even looking at Holy Scripture from a human point of view, questioning it, trying to interpret it according to our own desires. So theology from below is really the way that we are apt to go, but it's not the best way to go.
What's the other way that theology can go?
Well, Scripture itself teaches us that theology should be taken from above. In other words, what God himself has revealed to us. And we could say that some of the theology is revealed in nature and through our consciences, but this is not a trustworthy way to go. But if we look at Scripture itself for the revelation of how God himself reveals himself to us, especially in the person of Jesus Christ, then we are on very solid ground.
So the old definition that so many people operate with of theology, that it's simply our thoughts or our musings, our words about God, is exactly wrong. I mean, that will get you to Buddhism, that will get you to any other religion, but it won't get you to the Christ revealed in Scripture.
No, it will get us very many places that are dangerous to go. Theology from above is definitely the way to go.
Does this mean that theology is a gift of God?
Theology is the gift of God. Maybe we should just define theology, because many people are a little scared of the term. They think theology is something that is done by theologians, very learned people, but theology is simply thinking about the things of God. And so everyone is a theologian in some way or another. It just depends on whether we are good theologians or perhaps unskilled or wrong-minded theologians. And when we get our theology from Holy Scripture itself, then we have a solid way of thinking about the things of God.
So in the television program The Simpsons, what we are seeing, it sounds like you're saying, is a pretty accurate mirror of what you get in the real world when you do your theology from below.
The writers themselves are kind of a mixed bag. Some of them have had Christian upbringings and are no longer practicing Christians. Some of them actually know quite a bit about Christianity. Some still are practicing Christians. That doesn't necessarily translate into an accurate depiction of what the revelation of God really is. And we have to remember that they are producing a satire on American life, and so they are observers of what actually goes on in our churches and in our communities. And so they are, in that way, perhaps a mirror of even the mistaken theologies of the world. They're not here to give us the gospel according to what is revealed by God's theology from above.
But they are useful. I mean, at least the program that they produce is useful in showing us the many ways that, at least on the American landscape, religion is misunderstood.
Well, perhaps I could tell a story about when I was first really exposed to The Simpsons in a serious way. I was actually at the seminary. I knew that my kids, who were in junior high and in high school, sometimes watched it. I had seen parts of it, but I didn't really take it too seriously. And then I discovered that a lot of the single students on the campus at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis were disappearing at a certain hour every afternoon, and they were all going to gather in the dorm lounge to watch The Simpsons together. And I asked why they were doing that, and they said they were collecting material for sermons.
What did they mean by that?
They were getting an idea of how people actually viewed the things of God, how they viewed the Christian faith. Definitely we have a lot of examples of sin in The Simpsons. We have some bad examples of how people should think about morality, how people can self-justify themselves, and the trouble that you can get into by ignoring the things of God.
You write that The Simpsons, by and large, portray Christianity as a morality religion. Essentially, it's about trying your best, trying to be good, trying to keep God happy. Talk more about that.
Indeed. One of the most telling episodes has Homer refusing to go to church anymore. I think you had a quote at the beginning of this segment on that. And he has a dream or a vision where God the Father himself visits him, and he explains to God the Father, "I love my kids, I try to do what's right, and why can't I just continue with that and worship you in my own way?" And God thinks it over and says, "Well, maybe we could try that, Homer." He gives Homer a bit of approval for that kind of thinking.
And what happens then?
Well, towards the end of the episode, Homer, secure in his sin against the third commandment, is laying on a couch, smoking a cigar, drinking beer on Sunday morning. He falls asleep and sets the house on fire. And do you think he learns a lesson from this? Well, the moral he learns is that God is vengeful, which of course isn't the moral at all. Marge leads him to take some responsibility for the events that occurred. And we hope that Homer will have learned from this to basically behave himself and start going to church again, because good things could happen if he would do that.
So this sounds like just classical American Christianity, like small-c Christianity, that I go to church, I do what I do basically to keep God off my back.
That's right. You try to keep God happy. You do the best you can, and God will be happy with that.
Contrast that, which is so accurately depicted by the animated series The Simpsons, with what Scripture actually reveals to us about God, about how he would be disposed toward us and deal with us sinners.
God wants to deal with sinners by dealing with our sin. And he does that through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one who pays the price for our sin and wins for us God's approval. In The Simpsons, you're kind of left on your own to do the best you can, and that's good enough for God.
So with about a minute, Pastor Wenzel, before we take our first break, do you think that it's something that Christians, especially young people, ought to avoid watching?
The way I worked it with my kids is I started watching it with them, and then I could point out some of the misthinking that was going on, and my kids soon got very tired of me, as they said, sermonizing. They learned to do it themselves. They became very adept at discerning the mistakes that they were seeing in the theology.
Well, when we come back from our break, we'll spend a little more time with Pastor Robert Wenzel, pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Walton, Nebraska. He's author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled Theology and the Simpsons. We'll talk about the Christian, well, there are lots of Christians depicted in The Simpsons, but the next-door neighbor, Ned Flanders, is the super-Christian of the Simpson universe, and much the bane of Homer Simpson's existence in some ways, a picture of, well, what a lot of American Christians think they ought to be. We'll be right back. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Pacifica, California. Messiah Lutheran, Danville, California. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Grace Lutheran, San Mateo, California. Our Savior Lutheran, Grand Rapids, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Brookfield, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. St. John's Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crestwood, Missouri. Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas. St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas. University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado. St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Alma, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Imperial, Nebraska. And Trinity Lutheran, St. Charles, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Monday, January the 31st. In about 10 minutes, we'll turn our subject to Jesus' descent into hell. Pastor Sean Cumm of Zion Lutheran Church in Laramie, Wyoming, will be our guest. He's also written an article for the latest Higher Things magazine titled Going to Hell with Jesus. We'll explain what Christians mean when they confess he descended into hell. The second hour of the program, Dr. John Kleinig of Australian Lutheran College will be our guest. We'll talk about prayer for the entire hour. Pastor Wetzel, let's talk about Ned Flanders. This is Homer's next-door neighbor. He is the squeaky, clean, super-Christian in the Simpsons universe. What role does he play in kind of the depiction of Christianity writ large?
Well, he is really the foil to Homer. He's everything that Homer is not, and he's kind of like the poster boy for American evangelicalism. He's a born-again Christian. He always frets over whether he's doing the right thing, whether he is pleasing God. He's actually, to me, kind of a sympathetic character. But to Homer, he's the worst nightmare, having a man like him living next door to him.
I mean, there are scenes of Homer looking in on the Flanders family life and seeing these perfectly behaved children. And until somewhere several seasons ago, Ned Flanders lost his wife and had a crisis of faith himself. Pretty much the model American family there. What do you think the writers of The Simpsons are trying to say about Christianity for us as Americans?
Like I say, he's kind of a sympathetic character to me. He is satirized by the writers. But at the same time, if you were going to have a next-door neighbor, Ned Flanders is probably the one who would be the best kind of neighbor to you. Always helpful. In the episode we talked about before the break, when Homer is trapped in the burning house, it's Ned Flanders, the volunteer fireman, who enters the house and rescues Homer.
How does he inaccurately depict what Christianity really is?
Well, it's a very moralistic and pietistic Christianity that Ned tries to live. It's about pleasing God, which isn't bad in itself. Of course, we want to please God, but you sometimes get the idea that he fears that his eternal salvation is not in Jesus Christ, but in how good a Christian he can be.
How are other religions, and they really are, I mean, just about every religion under the sun, how are other religions depicted in the Simpson world?
Well, we have Krusty the Clown, who is Jewish and kind of a stereotype, perhaps. We have Apu, who is the owner of the Quickie Mart, who is a Hindu immigrant. We sometimes see other denominations besides this generic Protestantism portrayed, Episcopalians, Roman Catholics, all treated, for the most part, rather gently. The writers of The Simpsons know when to kind of pull their punches. It is a commercial enterprise. They don't want to alienate people, but if they can make a few gentle stabs at people, it's good for the ratings. People enjoy that kind of thing.
As far as I know, I don't think there's been a depiction of Islam on The Simpsons. You think the writers just think you can't be funny the way they want to be funny and deal with Islam?
I think that's probably accurate in doing some research about The Simpsons. It has been translated into many languages. It is aired in many different countries. And they have, I think, purposely not done anything to offend the Islam religion in particular, because they tend to have sometimes almost violent, and in some cases, in reality, a violent reaction to anything that is deemed blasphemous.
In some episodes, Homer's daughter, one of his daughters, Lisa, she flirts with all different kinds of religion, generally speaking, kind of a soft Buddhism. Talk about that, if you would.
Well, she's like many young American, whether female or male, they're kind of searching. There's a smorgasbord of options out there. And in our pluralistic society, they are all presented as having their own positives. And so she probably is representative of many of our young people. And we as Lutherans and Christians, I myself as a pastor, should know that this is where many of our people are going for their spiritual exploration, is to some of the other religions of the world.
Now, something that is probably near and dear to you as a viewer, but also as a pastor, how are the clergy depicted, in particular, the Reverend Lovejoy?
Reverend Lovejoy, I can identify with. He's a bit burned out. He's tired of preaching to a congregation that isn't always ready to listen or is ready to misunderstand what he says. So I have a great deal of sympathy for him. At the same time, he is depicted rather sympathetically much of the time. In the end, he usually comes out on the side of good and right and morality, and like in that burning house episode, he is actually the literal savior of Homer.
I've noticed in years of watching the program that the writers do tend to, they will talk about God. You mentioned before even appearances of God the Father. But I can't remember Jesus much in The Simpsons.
Well, I cannot recall all the episodes. I probably haven't seen all the episodes. The one I remember, though, is where Homer is having a vision of walking with God the Father in heaven, and they see Jesus all alone in a playground, swinging slowly back and forth on a swing, pondering the imponderables, I guess. And God the Father says something to the effect of, "You wouldn't believe what they did to my son when I sent him down there. He's never gotten over it." So Jesus is not presented as our mighty Savior, but as a victim of humanity.
So what would be your best advice for parents, for youth, for everybody, if they sit down to watch The Simpsons?
Remember what you've been taught by your pastors, what Holy Scripture has taught you, what you've learned in the catechism, and you'll easily be able to discern some of the poor theology that is presented in The Simpsons. When I gave the talk on The Simpsons at Higher Things last year, I asked all the young people in attendance how many of them were regular viewers of The Simpsons, and almost all of them were. Then I asked the question, "Do your parents approve?" And most of them said, "No, their parents did not." Especially after a certain age, our older generations see The Simpsons as perhaps a tool of the devil. It's not stopping their kids from watching it. And so you should probably know what they're watching, watch it with them, and be able to give them guidance as Christian parents. And I trust that those who have been well catechized will be able to discern the good theology from the bad theology.
What would you say to someone listening to us who says, look, Christians just shouldn't watch The Simpsons because it's disrespectful to Christianity and to Christians?
Well, oftentimes it is. I would point out that oftentimes the other media that we watch is even worse. I say The Simpsons is kind of a gentle satire, and it's sometimes even wistful, as if the writers were grasping for an understanding of the good theology, but they can't quite get there themselves. There are many worse things to watch than The Simpsons. That's probably not an excuse to watch it, but you can learn what the world is thinking, and you can also learn often what the old Adam in yourself is thinking as well. And you learn to recognize some of the unhealthy theological attitudes in yourself. And therefore, it can be a place where you can diagnose the sin within yourself, the sin in the world around you, the sin in your families, the sin in your communities, and then you can remember what you've been taught about good theology, the theology of Scripture, which points us to Jesus Christ as the one who is the center of the Christian faith and the Savior of the world, the Redeemer of the world.
Pastor Robert Wenzel is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Walton, Nebraska. He's author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled Theology and the Simpsons. Thank you for being our guest.
You're very welcome, Todd.
Folks, if you go to our website, we've got something new there for you. Thanks to Pastor David Gallus, another YouTube video promoting issues, etc. This one's called Good Question. It really does all of these videos that Pastor Gallus does for us here at Issues, etc., are great because they get the show. He understands what our listeners understand about this show. It's about the guests. It's about the topics. And one way of helping support Issues, etc., send that YouTube video to someone who doesn't listen to Issues, etc., or who hasn't listened in a while. It's called Good Question. You can find it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support right there on the support page. You'll find that new YouTube video, Good Question, and all the previous YouTube videos for Issues, etc. When we come back, we'll be talking about Jesus' descent into hell. Pastor Sean Cumm is our guest on this Monday afternoon.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, my people are destroyed by lack of knowledge. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
The latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal is out. It contains an article that I've written titled The Theology of Jesus. What's the connection between the Church's Confession of Christ and her Confession of the Trinity? Find out with the latest Issues Etc. journal. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Mason Beecroft writes about the false promises of Pop American Christianity. Get your copy of the latest Issues Etc. journal by sending your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Claire Colwell had a good childhood after being adopted by loving parents. She vividly remembers meeting her birth mother for the first time. Claire said, "Thanks for choosing life for me." Her birth mother started crying both tears of joy and sadness. It was then Claire found out she had been a twin. Her birth mother was only 13 and in her fifth month of pregnancy when she went in for an abortion. But the abortionist only aborted one baby. Weeks later, she found out there had been twins and gave birth to Claire. Now Claire shares her story about surviving a late-term abortion and speaks out to honor her twin sister who didn't survive. Her message is, abortion doesn't impact just one person. I agree, abortion's a cancer, killing and maiming everything it touches.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.